Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best: provide cancer updates, research, and education. In so many ways, cancer is insatiable. Each year in the United States, it costs us the lives of more than 600,000 loved ones, friends, and colleagues. In 2015, for example, cancer collected more than 8.7 million person years of American life. That's 8.7 million years that would have been lived out by our loved ones, friends, and colleagues if not for the disease. But there's also the disease's ripple effect, which includes the social, emotional, and spiritual toll that cancer takes on caretakers, family, and friends. Tied up in that ripple effect are the colossal financial consequences of cancer. The disease siphoned $94 billion, that's billion with a B, in would-be earnings from the U.S. economy in 2015. And while that cost is nothing at all to scoff at, cancer's most severe financial consequence comes when even one patient is forced, on top of all the unbelievable everyday pressures of living with cancer, to deal with lost earning time at work, a dwindling bank account, mounting medical debts, and the constant tug of war between financial and physical health. As the financial options grow fewer, many people with cancer in the US are turning to online crowdfunding in order to make ends meet. According to a recent study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Internal Medicine issue, since the popular crowdfunding platform GoFundMe.com launched back in May of 2010, patients, advocates, and caregivers have piloted more than 37,000 fundraising campaigns in hopes of overcoming cancer's monetary challenges. To get a better feel for the scope of this phenomenon, what it says about our society, and how patients with a cancer diagnosis can navigate this unpredictable part of the care journey, I spoke with the study's corresponding author, Dr. Benjamin Breyer. Dr. Breyer is an associate professor at the University of California, San Francisco, in the Department of Urology, Epidemiology, and Biostatistics. And we are thrilled to have him join us here today on the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. All right, so Dr. Breyer, if you could just walk us through, you know, whatever life experiences or ideas you had leading up to this that made you want to conduct this research that led to this publication in JAMA.
Yeah, I think we all understand just how tough it is to be a patient and all of the physical and emotional things that go through regarding their illness. And I think especially with all of the media coverage around the ACA and just what I've encountered talking to my own patients and hearing some of their experiences with medical billing and these kind of things, that unfortunately there's a lot of stress and costs that are associated with getting care. And, you know, I was particularly interested in crowd sharing, crowdsourcing platforms that people use to generate money for their health conditions. One thing about cancer care is it is not elective. You know, you typically have to have it, and it's often providing life-saving care. And so we really wanted to see, you know, what people are using GoFundMe for, why are they needing the money, and just to kind of get a sense for the scope of the problem and what people are using the money for.
Was there a particular event or anything, you know, leading up to this research that piqued that interest? How did that all come about?
I got a little interested in hearing some of these stories about people that were actually getting the money when they didn't actually have a disease. And that just sort of piqued my interest initially, you know, but I think that the issue is much bigger than that. And sure, there's some concerns about people's privacy. There's probably also concerns about, you know, some very, very small minority abusing this with fraud. But the more we kind of read these narratives and understood what people are going through, it really stood out to us. Just that for a lot of people, getting care for cancer can be really financially devastating. Deductibles are incredibly high. Travel for therapies extremely expensive. That was really kind of the main motivation.
Why is cancer care so expensive? There's cascading issues starting way back in the healthcare system that lead to this, you know, whether it be new technologies getting implemented into care or the extremely long research pipeline for pharmaceuticals. Why is it so expensive?
That's a great question. And, you know, a lot of really, really smart people are trying to wrap their heads around it. You know, I think it's multifactorial. And tell you a personal anecdote, I recently had a back surgery, and, you know, I can afford my care, but even the plan I have had a fairly high deductible. And I'm just thinking about someone that was doing physical work, had to be out for a while, they may even lose their job, and then on top of that, they get all of these really high medical bills. You know, I think we have some of the best care that can be provided in the world, some of the most technically advanced, but at the same time, we have millions and millions who are uninsured, underinsured, or have poor insurance. We have some of the highest maternal mortality rates in the first world. And these things really don't all fit together. And I think it is really a reflection of, you know, there's a lot of different interests and a lot of people profiting off of healthcare. And I think, you know, I don't know what the solutions are, but we certainly need to take a long look because the present course isn't sustainable and it's certainly not working for a large portion of people.
Yeah, and I would say that a lot of these people who probably ended up in your study, I would imagine are those people, right?
Totally. Yeah, I don't think people that are well off are going to turn to GoFundMe. I think they'll have resources to cover these kind of things. You know, the average ask was about $10,000, and on average, people got $2,500. You know, there's some statistics in the news release that you can see, but people that were underinsured asked for twice the amount, but got the same as people that had quote unquote insurance. So these are, you know, these definitely point to people that really could use the help for all the various reasons.
Yeah, I guess this is a good jumping off point to get a little bit deeper into the research letter. So Dr. Breyer, what did you find there? What were the key takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, take a step back. We basically went to the GoFundMe website and searched the top 20 cancers in each state. And so essentially since the inception of GoFundMe, we got downloaded probably about 95% plus of all the cancer campaigns. And then we took a random sample of those and then did a really deep dive with our team analyzing the narratives and abstracting data from each of the narratives. A number of them, about a third of the group reported being uninsured or underinsured in their narrative. And typically, people that were under or uninsured ask for twice as much money than those that had insurance. Either way, though, no matter what you asked for, you typically only got about 25% of the ask on average. Most of that money was going towards actual medical bills. About 25% of it was going towards travel. Some was used for things like alternative medicines, about 5%.
Personally, and not necessarily as a scientific researcher, but as a human being living in this society that, you know, we all use this same American healthcare system, what does your research tell us about the state of cancer care in the U.S. and more broadly about, you know, the healthcare system that we're working in?
Well, I think that both kind of infuriating and sad that people need to resort to asking their family, friends, and strangers for help to get them through a serious illness. In my opinion, shouldn't have to be that way. I think we should have the resources to help people and take care of them when they're sick. I've certainly had patients going through illness that I'm helping treat, and to see them struggle with bills and things like that, it's it's really frustrating. You know, as a provider, as a healthcare provider, you really don't like to see that.
Yeah, and I know that at the end of this research letter, you know, you're one of the authors, and you write that the financial burden of healthcare requires increasing attention and advocacy. So what exactly would you like to see happen?
I think we need to work on cost containment. I think we need to work on creating the most high value care. I think that people, you know, in an ideal world, everyone's covered and care is affordable and it's not abused. The very fact that it hasn't been solved after decades of trying, you know, indicates just how big and gnarly a problem it is. But I would, you know, implore people to advocate and to talk to government about solutions that are high value and that allow for people not to be bankrupt, not to be made homeless, not to skip care altogether because they can't afford it.
Right. And what would you say to the cancer patients out there who are potentially reading this study or maybe the release that went out about it? Would you recommend that if they can't afford care that they try to take a pathway like this, like they try to crowdfund for themselves? Or do you have any other financial advice for them?
You know, I'm not a financial expert and I really wouldn't hazard to be one. You know, I think this is informative for people to know that you ask for $10,000 on average and on average people get $2,100. I bet that $2,100 is incredibly helpful. If someone was going to do this kind of campaign, I would just do it in a way that, you know, protects their privacy so there's not some third party that takes advantage, and because all this stuff is publicly available and could potentially be used to steal identity or do various things. And I think privacy is a concern for people that go this route, but for some people this is a good option. At the end of the day, as a society, it shouldn't be that there's a marketplace where people have to tell their stories to get money to get care.
The way that our current system is set up, it would only be a matter of time before something like this would pop up, because it's based on demand, right? So it's like bittersweet because I'm glad that these people are getting some financial assistance, but also sad that it has to exist in the first place.
I'd agree with that. I really appreciate you, your interest, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and I also just want to say that I appreciate you going beyond the science to add your own two cents into it, because I think that that's really important. I think it means a lot coming from the experts when they can throw a little bit of perspective in there, so I appreciate that.
Right on.
Well, Dr. Breyer, thanks so much for your time.
Okay, you good luck to you, and thanks again.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other apps to hear every episode. Or visit us at curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, your indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com. Find us on Twitter @cure_magazine or Facebook @cure_magazine.